Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Little review from last week. The Bible's about a lot of things, but two biggies. And those two biggies are sin and grace. And not only is that the overall message, but I want you to, as you read your scriptures, notice how often you can come at text after text after text with the idea that this is about sin and grace. And we are tonight going to look at the gospel lesson, Mark chapter 10. And I think you'll notice that it's about sin and grace. Now, before we get there, I want to say a couple things about where we are in the church calendar. This is Lent 5. How many Sundays of Lent are there? 5. 7 is so close. Yeah, just 5. So Lent 5, today is the last Sunday in Lent because next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and following Palm Sunday, Holy Week. Palm Sunday to Easter, that's the most important week that's ever happened. Of course, because of its significance, the Bible gives us a ton of material about that one week of the life of our Lord and our Savior. Palm Sunday, Hosanna, right? Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Good Friday, crucify him. Away with him. Crucify him. Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, the sacrament, Good Friday, the cross, Holy Saturday, a day of silence. Easter Sunday, hallelujah. Hallelujah, the Lord is risen. All those things happen. What I would encourage you to do, I don't mean this just to be a commercial, or maybe it is. I would encourage everyone to think about coming to church. Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday. Every one of those days has a worship service appropriate to the day. Now, that is next Sunday and the week following. Jesus enters Jerusalem. Entering Jerusalem, setting in motion his own crucifixion in Mark chapter 11. Where was your gospel reading tonight? Mark chapter 10. Next week, next Sunday, enter the city. Where are they in Mark chapter 10? It doesn't say the place, but they've got to be just about there. In Mark chapter 10, they are about to enter Jerusalem. And Jesus knows full well what's ahead of them. His suffering and his death. And with that in mind, I want you to think about what James and John are thinking about. Now, I want to read the verses slowly and carefully because I want to look at it. I want to look at it carefully. There's some good stuff. There's some tough stuff here. But I love verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Now, we know what they're going to ask, and we're going to have plenty of criticism for them in just a few minutes. But I want to pause real quick, and I want to pat them on the back for just a minute. Because who did they ask? Jesus. To whom should you pray? Jesus. From whom should you seek help? Jesus. Pastors are always surprised to see some Christians with a crystal hanging from the rearview mirror of their car. Or some Christians tell me, my horoscope said. Those things are rubbish. They help no one. They achieve nothing. Please know that. James and John at least have come to the right place. They are praying to the Lord of the church, we want you to do whatever we ask. Now, I do want to get this. I've said my positive about them. We're done with that. Because what they said is backwards. If Jesus is the Lord, they should say, Lord, what is your will? They're saying, we want to be Lord. Lord, you do what we want. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? I wish we could hear the tone of the Savior. We have words on a page. How did he say it? And Jesus has a range of expressions if you read your Gospels carefully, right? What do you want me to do for you? And they say, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. Jesus is walking to the cross to die for their sins and ours. And they are thinking, when the kingdom comes, we want to jockey toward the head of the line. Whenever I read this, I always wonder, how long have they been talking about this? It's very clear they must have been, right, talking amongst themselves. They're looking at the other, there's 12 apostles, James and John, there's 10 other guys. They're looking at the other 10 guys saying, you know what? When you look at those 10, I think we're kind of the top guys, right? Can you imagine the egotism of it? John, what do you think? Aren't we better than Peter? Right? Judas, we don't know what's going on there. All those other guys, John, we're better than those people. C.S. Lewis says that pride is the competitive sin. It's a funny phrase. Here's what he means. Many sins are I do what I want to do. Drunkenness, I want to get drunk. Gluttony, I want to eat too much. A lot of sin is I just want, I want, I want, right? Pride is the sin that makes me want to be ahead of you. Not just I'm going to do what I want, but I need to be ahead of others. And that's what they're saying. I know there's 12 of us. We are kind of top. And they put it in words, Jesus, when you come in your kingdom, can I sit on your left and my brother on your right? It's amazing. What a question. What an ego is exactly it. And Jesus says, you don't even know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I'll drink? Bearing in mind, Jesus is headed to the cross. Can you drink the cup that I drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? Jesus is saying that there are a lot of struggles in life. And there are many struggles that are related to being a follower of Christ. And every believer will have the struggles of being a follower of Christ, but he's saying that if you put yourself out at the front of the line, you get an extra scoop. Do you want that? The persecuted church around the world, all Christians suffer, but the bishops and the pastors are hunted, right? And Jesus is saying, do you guys really want that? Do you know what you just said? And I love their answer because they only use two words. In Greek, it's actually one word. They say what? We can. The Greek word is strong. It literally means we're able. We're strong enough to do this. It's related to the word power, actually. Can you drink what I drink? Oh, yeah. I love their enthusiasm, at least. Let's say that. There's one more positive thing. I do love their enthusiasm. I think they mean it, by the way. I think they're being naive. And so they say, yes, Lord, we're able to do it. We're capable. That's what they're saying. And Jesus says what? You will. You will. I love it when Jesus says you will. They will drink of that cup. They will suffer. But he says this, you're going to drink the cup that I drink. You're going to be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But who sits on my left and who sits on my right? That's not even mine to give. One of my professors at seminary, I don't know that this is what Jesus means, but one of my seminary professors used to say that Jesus may be referencing the two thieves hung on crosses next to him. That's Jesus in his glory, right? That's the Son of God for the sins of the world. They say, we want to be on your left and on your right. And Jesus says, that's been prepared for someone else. If they were standing at the cross, I don't know if they would have thought that and say, I'm glad I'm not right there. It's a wonderful passage. Now you might say, or I might say, Lewis is right. C.S. Lewis, pride is the competitive sin. I am ahead of those. The beauty is, when the other 10 hear about it, what do? They respond with the beauty of human pride. It says the other 10 heard of it, and they didn't say, oh yeah, I get it, James and John are in the inner circle, so yeah, that's fine. The other 10 were indignant. What were they thinking? I'm one of the top two. James and John, who are they? Fishermen. Matthew's thinking, I can at least do the books. All 10, all of them, every one of them, proud. Jesus has got to be thinking what? It's not in the text. We know what he does. He gathers all of them together. Okay, guys, huddle up. All 12 of you. All 12 of you. And he says, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. That's a great phrase. We live in that same world. People with power and titles, the phrase lord it over them. The word lord can be good. Lord it over them, you get the difference? It happens to be two different words in Greek. They're both related. The word lord is kurios. To be the master is kurioio. But this isn't kurioio. This is kata kurioio. The kata is an intensifier. Jesus is Lord and Master. Leadership is necessary. Nothing wrong with leadership. What kind of leadership, right? Leadership that's godly and biblical leads for the benefit of the other. Kata kurioio, the intensifier, doesn't mean to lead. It means to domineer. You see the difference. It happens, for instance, in 1 Peter chapter 5, when Peter writes a letter to the pastors of the church and said, I beseech you, elders, as an elder, be shepherds of God's flock, not lording it over them. Same word. Not lording it over them. And so he says, guys, you want to be first? Look around you. Look at the mess the world is in, and look at how rulers lord it over people. These punchy little words, not so with you. Right? Are there leaders in a church? Yeah. What kind? Right? That's what he's talking about. This is what I would say about it. Jesus says, whoever wants to be great must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. This is what he's saying. Serving, not striving. Striving is, Lord, I want to be first. Lord, me above them. And he says, no, that's striving. Serve. And in case you were wondering what that looks like, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. In a few more days, they'll see what he means. Sin and grace, right? Sin and grace. What do the 12 apostles bring to this text? Their sin and their arrogance. And what does Jesus bring? His cross and his forgiveness. It is about sin and grace. Christ for sinners. Amen. We stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.